100 years ago, the dark wizard Hollowell raised an army and tried to conquer the world. He was stopped by an unlikely hero, Sheriff Aesop Stormwood. As Hollowell died, he prophesied that he would be reborn twice more and rise again. Stormwood looked him in the eye and said if Hollowell did, his descendants would strike him down. Sheriff Aesop Stormwood went on to form Stormwood and Associates to make sure they'd be ready for Hollowell's returns, a private detective security and federally licensed magic users agency. 25 years ago, Hollowell returned for the first time, and a Stormwood made good on Aesop's promise. But the third coming of Hollowell may not be so far in the future. But the young Raz Stormwood just might know it's coming, and she plans to be ready. Previously on Stormwood and Associates. The team, while setting up the Sanctuary of Mercy's security system, because they've got a whole bunch of magical items that are somewhat impossible, have discovered more impossible things there, like a whole bunch of tiny little people living in the walls. That's weird, and they may be exiles from the Fey world. Who knows? It's weird. There's also a mind flayer walking around, because even though that's not something that's supposed to exist in this world, there certainly is one in this church. But it's okay, because he's vegan. He's not vegan. Squirrel brains are not vegan. Anyways, the team, being stuck there with that many magical artifacts that need defending, are exploring the place and have split up, and Babbitt, while wandering the dorms, has started to, I don't know, ask questions, because that's what you do. And also, this adventure is guest GM'd by Brittany Smith. I should mention that at some point.
So what's the deal with the little people?
He kind of looks at you very abrupt and... Sir, I mean, the little people are also worshippers here. They're equal to me. I mean, I usually leave them alone.
Okay. Right, I get that. But, like, when you were not here, when you were out on the streets, you saw, you know, orcs and humans and... elves and goblins and whatnot. Did you ever see any of these little one-inch-tall people?
No. I just assumed they lived here.
That's weird.
Is it? Never thought of it that way. Just when I came to the church, they fed me, they clothed me. I decided to stay, help out. Okay. Taught me how to read, honestly. So, very grateful for that. One of the little people, his name is Greg. Good guy. Helped me with my ABCs.
Greg the little person. Okay.
Oh, it's actually Greg Sheen. He has a last name.
Sure he does. Listen, it's been real, but I'm gonna mosey on out of here.
Okay. If you need anything, let me know. I have the keys to the linen closets, and if you need to shower, like toothbrushes, lotion, I'll unlock it for you.
I would love something. I would love a key to the linen closet. Yes, please. Thank you.
I can't give you the key. It has to stay with me, but I can unlock it for you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Here. He gets up and gets a clipboard. We have to keep record of who comes and goes. If you want to sign your name, what you're taking, it's yours.
I narrow my eyes at him. No, I'm good.
Okay. It's just for auditing purposes. We are still a church, you know.
I'm not signing anything.
Okay.
All right.
Kind of looks at you weird. He's like,
I look at him weird.
You sure you're okay, son? You want some water?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm gonna go now.
If there's a problem, they can solve it. If you need to find someone, they can do it. Stormwood & Associates is a detective, security, and federally licensed magic users agency. If you need help, they'll be there. But don't get in their way, or else you'll get caught in the eye of the storm.
Okay.
So I guess I'm going to leave the dorms, go back downstairs.
All right. Back downstairs, you kind of look out and you go towards the gardens because that's the only place
I haven't been. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Inside the gardens, you see Miss Sister Cat walking around. She seems very upset, very angry. She looks at you. She sees you. And her eyes narrow. And she walks over towards you. You're one of the new ones. The technology bringers. Ugh.
I know, right? Ugh.
You agree with me that we don't need this technology, then?
Look, I mean, it's part of my life. I enjoy it, but you obviously you don't need it. Yeah. It's bullshit. Excuse me. It's poppycock.
Thank you. Please watch your mouth in the presence of a nun. Oh, I swear, heathen secular people. Outsiders. All this technology, all this wiring doesn't need to be here. This church was not built for this.
Yeah. What was this church built for?
It was built to worship the goddess Vera, our patron saint.
You can't hear anything. Tell me about her.
She looks at you very, very carefully. You actually are going to listen to me?
Why wouldn't I? You seem like you know what you're talking about.
Finally, someone who speaks some sense. Our goddess, Vera, its kindness, grace. She was magic before the downfall of man and corruptedness. We used to be able to do way more with magic. That room, our sacristies, practically it's what real magic is. What we should be able to do, but corrupted human beings tainted our world. And our patron saint is the only person that can change it back. We don't need this technology that you bring here. All we needed was our magic.
Yeah. Yeah, those corrupted human beings. Yeah. I get it.
You being a goblin to your advantage. Use it!
Yeah, they suck.
You can't reach the top shelf, but you can do this conversation.
So,
hit on the nun.
She is 71 and kind of thick.
Yeah, no.
Hey, we'll know what Mavit's into.
Real wrinkly.
Not that. Maybe in 50 years.
I don't think we've established what goblin lifespans are. It's not in the canon yet.
Well, just got established at least 50.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those freaking humans, they don't get it, right?
It's not the humans, boy. It's I have literally bled for this congregation. I should be the one to lead it, but Father Jolly is the next one in line. That mind flayer. He proved to everyone that he can do this job.
How'd he do that?
He went vegan.
Right. I mean, a lot of people go vegan. One of my moms is vegan.
Such an unnatural thing. That thing should be on a pike. It's not a creature of this world. Yet, through the power of Our Lady and our goddess, he converted, became true and a healer.
Overcomes at some point, Kel's just gonna go, I don't know what the hell a mind flay is, but that thing's freaky as hell. And
I'm
eating squirrel brains is not
bad.
Vegan.
I'm kind of starting to feel bad about my prejudice toward the horrifying tentacle face over there. But also, at least I'm not as bad as this lady.
Oh yeah, she's terrible. Very racist. Anyway. Father Elmwood Pine is leaving after this. He has a month left, and within that month, he did the impossible. He managed to get our holy relics to San Ricardo. Such a petition, such a great idea. I wish I thought of it first, and I would be leading the congregation.
Right. And is this a thing that like he's been working on for a while?
Father Pine?
Yeah.
Ages. He just wants a promotion to go to Rome and start new congregations. He led this one for years, and I thought I was going to be next. I was not. Father Jolly got promoted.
Can we hear any of this over comms?
Yes.
I gotta say, Catholic Church ain't gonna be too happy if these guys try to open up shop in Rome.
I'm a little sidetracked by the whole, I don't know, that this is sounding like there's some really nasty internal politics here, and I just kind of want to get this thing set up and go, but also there's a bunch of horrible otherworldly stuff here, and I am scared of what the consequences will be of just leaving.
We gotta stay here for a while. It's, the power, like, something's weird with the electricity here, and so we need to bring in independent power sources for all of the gear. I got the computer working, but like the cameras in the hallways are just like the electrical grid's not stable enough and just frying everything. So we got to like bring in these battery packs. And so there's a good chance that we're not going to have any of this stuff set up until tomorrow. And I don't want to leave these relics here without any security.
Great.
So, I mean, if you end up, like, pinned to the ground by a bunch of Lilliputians, like, it's not my fault, but, like, we got concerns. That was a joke. You're allowed to laugh, Bill. You're also allowed to have vivid nightmares, but, you know, that's going to happen no matter what.
Look, my nightmares are between me and my growing pile of issues, and oh my god, we need to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I would say that. We are through the looking glass, my friend.
I feel like I have learned what I can from her for now. So I will excuse myself.
All right.
And return to the sacristy, I guess.
So what's going on with Raz?
Raz has just been watching as people move boxes into the storage room.
Yep.
They are really nice. They kind of greet her. That the elven sister, whose name I must remember now. I wrote it down. What did I call her? She's like 169 years old. I will call her Tayshawn. No, that's terrible. I forgot her name because I didn't. I forgot her name. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll survive not remembering.
Yeah, no.
Creepy elf lady's name.
It's all right. She's been kind of trying to talk to Raz, kind of slightly hinting at things. But Sister Olivia, she pulled her away and said, "You need to go take a shower, honey." And she just looks at Sister Olivia, walks away. Just ruined my fun. The only interesting thing that ever happens here. Just so happens to have magenta hair and look lovely. Whatever, whatever. Go take a shower. Have a good night. Hope you guys enjoy, you know, our church. Miss Olivia says to Raz as she walks away.
Thank you. Have a good night.
How is the creepy old lady's hitting on Raz isn't the weirdest thing that's happened?
Not even the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me.
Was that one actually weird? I mean, was that one actually old?
I mean, you know.
Elves.
An elf, yeah. You know, 169-year-old elf looks like a 50-year-old human, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, you all sort of, you know, do you finish your exploring? You all meet up by Raz. It's all very quiet in this church. There's really nothing going on. You're walking around the little sacristy, noticing all the paperwork and old, like, decorations.
So, how long do we have to stay here exactly?
Well, right now, we got, like, all of these items, and there's no security system functioning right now. Do you want to leave and, like, risk this stuff? Or...
No. Especially because we've got the Fae in here, and...
I mean...
Who knows what else could just waltz right in.
We got refugees from the Fae world that weren't supposed to exist. We got a frickin' tentacle guy... who eats squirrel brains that everyone thinks is vegan. And I don't think these people know what vegan means.
Everyone likes him, though, except for that one lady. She doesn't like him, but she doesn't like us either.
She doesn't like anyone, it seems.
I mean, also, you call someone a mind flayer? That is not a, like, positive image. What the hell? All right, so we got tentacle guy. We got... tiny people who shouldn't exist, and oh my god, like, and we got items of, like, unknowable power pretty much sitting here unguarded, like, and oh yeah, none of the electricity works properly. Yeah, something's weird with the electricity, because of course it is, because you got tiny people living in the walls.
Probably chewing up the cables, yeah.
I
wouldn't
racist.
Rule that out.
I, you know, from anyone else but Babbitt, especially coming for you, to have to hold that stereotype about another person. Like, that's the thing said about your own people.
Right, okay.
I mean... on the other hand, though, like, you know, they're just, like, going around unplugging shit in there because they're tiny little people living in the walls. Just imagine going with the little hacksaws and then, ooh, shock the little one of them. No, no, don't do it again. But, like, I'm just saying. And who else knows what else they got in those walls? Like, if they got little people, maybe they got other stuff. Like, is there, like, you know, tiny little, like, things crawling around with them, like, that they ride like horses? Who knows? I don't know. I'd believe anything at this point. Santa Claus could come in and be like, ho, 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 I've converted.
I mean, can't rule it out. At this point, anyway.
And by the way, here are my workers who are a lost tribe of elves who have just been hanging around up here. You know, who knows?
So as you guys are talking and discussing, one of the tiny little people appears before you. They seem very frantic and are squeaking, and it sounds like words. But you guys are too afraid to go closer to listen.
I will go closer to listen from the freakish things that should not exist.
How close are you? Are you going to pick her up, or are you just going to let her stay on
the
floor?
I'm not going to pick up a sentient person. I'm not a monster. I'm going to lower my head.
All right. You hear, you have to go to the warming room. We need help. Please, there's blood everywhere.
So guys, apparently there's blood everywhere in the warming room?
I was just there. It's like beanbag chairs and homeless people. It's fine.
Well, apparently, according to the little person, there's blood everywhere. So why don't we go there and make sure that there isn't a corpse?
Oh boy, I can't wait to find... Why can't there just be a nice trip? Why can't there be a not horrible monsters, tiny people, and blood everywhere? That's fine. Let's go look.
So, you guys
go look. I still don't want to leave these relics by themselves.
Okay, so, Bill, you're with me. And then, Babbitt, do you want to stay here or come with?
I'll stay here.
Okay, so Bill and I will do it. Bill and I can... patch up any wounds or something. Really good correspondence course. All right. All right.
You and Bill, Kel and Bill, race to the room. Okay. This is going to get difficult. I pre-rolled everything. And it all right. When you get to the warming room, you sort of left the little person behind because you guys have faster legs. As you get in there, there are no more homeless people. The beanbag chairs are still there. It's still very warm. But you find that there isn't blood. There's no blood. There is a white sheet in the middle of the floor and what looks to be someone's body. And on this... this non-moving there's just this red mark on top of the sheet, and you kind of just look at it.
I gotta just look at it. So there's a body in the middle with the sheet on it and a red mark.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Red marks on top. Do you want to get closer?
Yeah, I'm gonna get closer. I'm gonna go run to see if it's a living or dead person.
All right. As you get closer, do you remove the sheet?
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to pull the sheet off. Yeah, so at least pull the sheet off their head.
Underneath, you find Sister Catherine McKnight, and she is very much dead. All the color is drained from her face.
So she's been dead for, like, a while?
No. But there's no blood. And she's very dead.
No, like, how long has she been dead?
Like, 20 minutes.
Okay, then that's too long for, like, I don't know if you have Restore Life stocked in your spellbook, but that's too long for that.
Yeah, I've got it, but Vinland. Yeah, that is...
Yeah, that's got to be cast, like, within 5 minutes, so...
That is a, that is beyond my ability.
Yeah. Okay. Raz? Overcomes.
What's up?
So, since the cat's dead...
God dang it.
But there ain't any blood here.
Are there any marks on the body?
I have not touched the body. I touched the sheet that was over it. Someone put a sheet over it.
Well, can you see any bruising, like, around the neck? Like, was she strangled?
Do I see any bruising around the neck?
There are no bruising, but do you pull the sheet off more? Like, do you want to go the rest of the way?
Yeah, sure. I'll pull the sheet off all the way.
As you unveil the sheet, you notice there are multiple stab wounds on her body.
All right.
Incredible amounts of stab wounds.
All right. Do not do that near the body. But okay, so I am pulling out my phone and I am calling. I'm calling the cops.
All right. Do me a favor. Roll a d10.
9.
You successfully called the cops. Dang it.
Multiple stab wounds, you know? Am I, like, I've literally touched the sheet that was covering it. If I don't call this in and they find my fingerprints on the sheet, Kel goes to jail for murdering a nun. Meanwhile...
How dare you murder a nun?
So actually, specifically, I'm going to call Johnson, the cop we know, who has connections to Raz's family. He's a, I don't remember if he's a detective or a captain, but whatever. He's a, well, I'll say he's a captain now. If he wasn't the captain before, he's been promoted.
Hello? He answers the phone kind of sleepy.
Good news and bad news. This is Kel, and I'm at the Sanctuary of Mercy Church.
Why are you there?
We got hired to install some security here, and we were stuck staying overnight because they've got the worst wiring any human being has ever seen, and they've got some powerful relics here. So I just found a dead nun who's been stabbed to death repeatedly. There's no blood in the room, which is really suspicious, and she had been covered by a sheet. I did remove the sheet because I did not know that was going to be a dead person underneath it. But yeah, no, so we got a dead lady. I'm going to take some photos here with my phone and send them to you. Take some photos.
Okay, don't touch anything else.
Yeah,
quarantine off the room.
Yeah,
don't
do
anything.
Got it. Also, there's some otherworldly horrors just walking around casual and everyone's fine with that, but I don't think that's related.
That's a lot of information. Let me get the squad ready. I'll let you know when I'm on my way, but just don't touch anything else. We need to make sure the forensic team gets to see it.
Bill, did you actually throw up?
No.
Okay, good. No. So, Bill, get out of the room in case you do throw up. Okay. So, how many doors? So, yeah, we will be here. Like, whole team's out here. So, Raz is out here, too. And, you know, one of the Babbitt, the guy who works with us. And, yeah. So, you know, hey, but at least it's not a dinosaur this time. So that's an upside.
I swear, the things you guys get into. Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. So.
He helped defeat Hollowell. He knows the deal.
Yeah. You guys close that room. You tell Raz and Babbitt what happened, what you saw. Whole nine yards. Told them you successfully called the cops. Ooh.
Here's the challenge of running a campaign in a modern world.
This is.
We're going to call the cops. We're always going to call the cops.
Nope. Which I planned for.
Okay.
Okay. This is where it gets dicey.
Did you say dicey?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm just going to go and throw my headset in the toilet now because I didn't hear that.
I just made a joke. That's all.
I know you did. It was a terrible pun because I was rolling my dice at that moment. I was so mad. All right. Raz and Babbitt, roll me a d10.
3.
1.
Whole. All right. You guys notice nothing. Nothing. You're just
everything's hunky dory.
Everything's fine on your end.
Not. There's nothing to notice.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just a sweet move. Okay.
Oh no, I don't like it when something says that's just a sweet move, okay. Wait. There are only a few things that qualify as sweet moves, so what's going on?
Hold on a second. I gotta make a decision. Babbitt, Raz. Hold on a second. I need a quarter, because there's no test for this, and it, you notice nothing, so I got a quarter.
Wait,
hold on.
There's something cannot. Is someone picking their pocket?
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That was a hide test, wasn't it? You made the roll d10 for a hide test.
So, Raz and Babbitt don't notice anything. Do you guys, shoot, this is hard. This is scary. This is the part. Oh my god.
So we're quarantining this room. Where are Raz and Babbitt right now?
They're still at the sacristy.
That's okay.
Just guarding the stuff. They didn't notice anything. And yeah. They're just there. Do you guys want to continue on with
Raz, are you gonna stick around here now that there's been a murder, or are you gonna
Well, it sounds like they called the cops.
Okay.
So, once those guys get here, that will be taken care of. Usually they like to quarantine that room so forensics can get in there, so that's probably what they're doing. So, yeah, I'm gonna stay put.
Stay put? You're gonna stay in that room? Gonna protect that stuff?
Yep.
All right.
Are you going to totally investigate to make sure everything's still there?
Yeah, I totally will.
Okay. Raz does totally investigate. as you go through the entire room, roll me a d10.
6.
Oh, you lucky. Lucky. You notice one crate is a little askew.
I immediately zoom in on that.
All right, you go to that
check
crate.
All around it.
You check all around it. You notice that it's just a little wrong. Like, it wasn't tightly closed. It's very loosely closed. Do you want to open it?
Yeah, I want to check that everything is.
Everything that exists in there. All right. As you go through this piece of the you know, exhibit, you find that it's labeled. Let me see, where did I put it? Cloak of Elvenkin. It's just a cloak. And as you look at it, you notice that there was a pocket. And it's upturned. Like someone dug into the pocket and then just put it back. Like, huh, that's weird. But there's nothing else in there besides that one piece of item. And that was the only thing wrong with that room.
Can I check the pocket?
Yeah, it's empty.
So if there was something in the pocket, that is gone.
It is gone.
Cool. I'm gonna get on my comms and tell the rest of the team. Hey, one of the relics was tampered with.
Which one?
The Cloak of Elvenkin. There's something in a pocket, and that is... whatever was in that pocket is now not there.
That is bad.
That's very bad.
That's the thing that but they left the cloak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone bothered to sneak in and didn't take the thing that would help them sneak better.
Unless they were too tiny for it to help them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Bill.
I mean, like, a cloak like that won't do any good if you're too small to wear it.
So you're assuming it's the little people?
I am, actually. Yes.
That little person told me that there was blood. There was no blood in that warming room. At the very least, I need to ask, we need to find out what the hell that thing saw.
Yeah, because this is getting, creepier and weirder and badder very quickly.
All right. Do you guys want to meet up at a central area, or because you've already quarantined that room, you don't need to stay there. The police are on the way. Do you want to go back to the sacristy and meet up with Raz and Babbitt?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you all converge there. You're looking at the cloak that Raz noticed and investigated. Hold on a minute. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4 of you. Oh my god, I'm so glad I got this dice. Raz, you noticed something that you didn't notice before in your own pocket. You take it out. It is a very bloody knife. Looks like a letter opener. And it's too big for someone, you know.
For a tiny. That,
yeah, for a little person to hold. And you're like, how did this get in my pocket?
Yeah. Cool.
And it's definitely covered in blood.
Oh, yeah.
And it's definitely not your blood.
Yep. It's definitely the murder weapon.
Okay, so that's bad.
Yeah, someone decided to teleport the murder weapon into my pocket.
Or someone sneaky slipped it there.
Yeah.
Which is physically more likely.
Yeah.
Does Raz wear gloves?
That is a good question. Do you wear gloves, Raz?
Not normally, no.
Well, your fingerprints are on that murder weapon.
Oh, yeah, but...
Well, okay. We know that you didn't do it because there are multiple witnesses that have you in this room during that murder.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, considering whose jurisdiction this is, it's not like we got to worry about them not believing us. However, you did accidentally pick up the murder weapon with your bare hand.
Yeah. Oof.
We need to put that down and not contaminate it further.
Yep. Put it down.
Okay. So, clearly that murder, like, we need to find the little what happened to the blood in that room? Because either that person was not killed in that room and they were relocated there, or someone cleaned up the blood, which is highly unlikely. And we had a little person tell us there was blood in there, did not talk about there being a dead body, and then I found the dead body. We need to find out where that person was murdered.
There was a mark on the sheet, though. Was that, like, in the shape of a symbol or anything?
Yes, it was.
What was the mark on the sheet shaped like?
I will send it to you. I actually drew it.
Okay.
All right, so it looks like it's a circle with kind of diamonds, like diamond shapes, the four diamond shapes kind of like set apart from each other, like equal parts, so like almost like a compass without a center.
Yes.
Okay.
Good way of describing it.
Because this is, again, a radio show.
And Brittany's a visual artist who doesn't know how to speak.
All right. Do any of us recognize the symbol?
Bill does, from the storybook.
Yeah, all right.
Symbol of the evil mage.
Oh, hey. Hey, guys, remember that book that I was looking at earlier? This is the bad guy's logo.
Sweet. You remember more about that bad guy?
That he was a Dark Lord.
That's all that says about him.
That he didn't like little people.
You,
It was a children's book.
You are surprised by a loud ringing noise and lots of people waking up and talking. It turns out an alarm was set by the little people and they had gathered the rest of the congregation.
Why did they even bring us in here to do security?
Father Pine, in his pajamas and robes, comes up and goes, "What's going on here? What has happened?"
Well,
Cynthia's in a fit.
Sir? Sir, if you could give me a moment, a member of your group here, Sister Cat, appears to have been murdered. We have contacted the police.
Sister Cat? But that can't be. She's beloved by all.
Well,
what?
Apparently what? Not by all.
I mean,
and the police are on their way. So everyone should stay calm.
They do the opposite of staying calm and panic.
No one should leave.
One should leave. The police are on their way. Also, there was a symbol on the sheet. A sheet was placed over, and a symbol with a circle with these diamond things on it that looks like it has to do with, I don't know.
The Dark Lord from your story.
A Dark Lord. A Dark Lord. Let's not say
he looks
Dark
at you
Lord.
Confused, but you,
Lords,
you know, Kel, you took pictures of your with your phone first, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a picture of that symbol, right?
I do.
From the sheet. You show it to him. He he looks at it and says, "That's the symbol of Morrow Sharp, the dark sorceress that fought against Fara." What?
Yeah, so that's pretty weird.
Great.
What?
But considering she was stabbed to death with a knife, I'm pretty sure certain we're dealing with an ordinary person because, you know, a dark wizard or something like that could just, you know, like vaporize something. Bill, you've vaporized people before, right?
Can confirm. I have vaporized a lot of people.
We are a peaceful congregation. All we do here is heal and feed those who are hungry and give them shelter.
Apparently someone here doesn't, and that's bad. And the police will be here to help investigate and sort that out.
He motions to several of the monks, and they come to his side, and gives them orders and quiets them down and tells them what to do. I've sent my people to lock these doors. Whoever this murderer might still be here. There aren't many places to leave.
Oh, yeah, no, they're definitely still in the building.
Oh, my, this is awful.
Frankly, also, they took something out of the pocket of that cloak. Someone did. And so there's apparently...
What do you mean?
Kel, you're being really nonchalant about this.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What we're saying is that your holy relics were desecrated by someone stealing things from their pockets.
The specifically this cloak of what's
Wait.
Its thing?
Let me. I have the list. I know this list of relics by heart. I know what it's in them.
There was something in the pocket of the cloak of Eldenkin which has been taken.
That no, the little folk spoke of this, but that can't be. Oh no. This is worse than I thought.
Also, one of the little folks told me, like, we found the body because one of the little folks told us that the warming room was full of blood. We got there, and there was absolutely no blood there, just the body. So...
He comes up to you very, very scared. Tell me that isn't true. Tell me... No blood?
Yeah, which usually indicates that the person was killed elsewhere, and then the body moved.
No, that. Oh dear. Oh, this is a problem.
That's usually the logical assumption when you find a body without who's been stabbed to death without blood. There.
No, the item they must have is Ring of Morrow Sharp. That I thought it was legend. I didn't think they'd actually keep it. I thought they would destroy it. Oh dear.
Well, apparently you bozos were putting it in the pocket of a cloak.
Oh no. This is horrible. We have to find that ring.
What can it do? I'm not familiar with this one.
The Ring of Legend. The Ring of Morrow Sharp is the one ring that feasts upon blood and raises the dead.
Oh, so no big deal then.
Oh, that's
good,
great.
Right?
No crime.
Like,
no
crime. You can, you know, get it back up on a feet, which would be good.
You want to cancel that, cops?
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, it's still an assault, at least, then, you know.
Okay.
It's still illegal.
The dead don't raise, son. They become mindless ghouls.
I mean,
zombies.
If you do it wrong.
Zombies. You gotta. Yeah. This is a zombie situation. Look, raising the dead isn't super easy. Like, you gotta.
With that ring, it was. That ring is ancient when magic was more potent. We could do anything back then.
Yeah, everything is better back in the day.
It really wasn't. It's just looking at stuff with rose-colored glasses. I mean, like, there are still, like, skilled wardsmiths in the country. It's just that, you know, as magic spread out to more areas...
As you continue to talk, Kel, a very sharp scream just shatters your speech, and one of the nuns is backing up, and the entire group slowly turns their head as a very... very shambly Sister Cat walks through them, her eyes a horrible blue, groaning and this disgusting sound emanating from her throat.
This doesn't seem all that different to me.
She's a beloved member of their congregation, Kel. Come on.
I'm just saying. Okay. So, are we dealing with this?
Roll initiative.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, God,
yep.
All of my reduced
rolling
stats.
Initiative.
Okay, that plus nine. 13.
14.
11. Hold
14.
On. 13. 14. 11. Who am I missing?
Me, 14.
Got 14.
Yeah,
oh, there's two.
There two 14.
So, and whoever has the higher sweetness between the two of those will go first. So,
well, 14. Yeah, okay.
My sweetness
is 4.
Ha! Yeah. Jinx.
Roll off.
Oh, God.
5.
rolling a d10 again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yep.
7.
All right, so Bill goes first between the two of them.
Bill and Babbitt. This is new.
Then Kel, then Raz.
Thank you so much.
And whatever the dead nun got.
She got 11.
All right, so you got to figure out between Raz and her, whichever one has the higher sweetness, which one's going to go first.
What's your sweetness, Raz?
4.
Oh, hers is a 4 as well.
Roll off.
Eight.
10.
The nun goes before Raz.
Damn. All right. Bill, you're first.
All right. This is pretty... All right, everyone stay calm. I just want everyone to back away from the creepy zombie while I give it a good taste of psychic flamethrower.
Oh, dear. Oh, I've never done combat. This is so great. Oh, all my right. God, I'm so scared.
All right, so Psychic Flamethrower is a spell, so that does a standard range sweep move for Bill. So that automatically does to the target Bill's range plus level damage. No soak to the target. No dodge, no soak.
So right now that would only be like...
So right now we're level 1, and so yeah. Level 1, 1 plus your range.
Okay, so 2.
So she takes 2 damage?
Yep.
Alright, just pure 2 damage.
Yep.
She takes it, she kind of gets a little dazed, but she shambles continues. The shambling just continues. She's coming closer.
Alright, so...
My experience, when you cook hamburger, it gets less mobile.
That brings us to Babbitt.
Yeah, Babbitt's going to do a sweet fly kick and kick her in the chest. So, that's an 8.
Your attack rolls an 8?
Yep.
So yeah, first, is that higher than the nun's sweetness plus level?
Sweetness plus level is... Oh. Nope, it's lower.
Okay.
So you miss.
I miss her. I just go flying right by.
Yep.
That brings us to me.
Kel, go.
All right, are there any outlets nearby?
If you guys are currently where I think you are at the Sacristy, they're only in the Sacristy or the library. No outlets in the little hall area, no.
Okay, just curious. All right, so I can't make it look as cool as I wanted to. So, blue lightning flickers between Kel's fingers. He then spreads his hands out and then slaps one of his hands against the ground. Blue lightning leaping along the ground and up and shocking the nun. And she's going to take... Because Kel, re-archetyped as a magic user, he took those correspondence courses. And so she is going to take... she's going to take 4 damage.
Oh, that's a lot. Just because it's a sweet move?
Because it's a spell. Yeah, so it does sweet move damage. Yeah, spells do sweet move damage.
Okay. Oh, she took the full force of that. She, you made her arm come off, sir. You just blew up her arm. Just, she withers and just this horrible smell just fills the room and this oozing just comes out of her body.
Was that worth it?
Yes.
So now it's the nun's turn. And oh dear, she looks like
arm.
Yeah, she's down an arm, but she doesn't need to attack with an arm. She kind of just vomits upon you and empties the content of what was her large and small intestines. Let's see, how do I I know how I figured this out. I can roll for
this. Babbitt's right near her. Bill and I are back.
Because is a projectile vomit a ranged attack?
Yes, that would be a ranged attack. Projectile vomit would 100% be a ranged attack.
All right, she goes for you, Kel.
Okay.
Yes.
So my dodge is a 5.
Okay, question. Is, because she used to be a magic user, and she's pretty old, she got to be a pretty good level, wouldn't that, like, projectile vomit be a spell, or is it just
attack? So, to use the spell, we've never dealt with zombies before. In theory, spells require you to be, like, conscious of what you're doing. So if she's not conscious, she can attack us.
Okay.
But I don't think that we would let, if she was a class that had sweep moves, like a physical sweep move, we might allow it. But I think that since magic technically requires like learning and knowledge,
and intelligence. No, just wondering, because she was a priestess who was,
right. And if she were, herself, then she could use a spell. But I think that we would be looking at this as a standard attack.
Okay, as a
standard
that's fine.
Ranged attack.
Just asking.
And so, for that, my dodge is a 5. So she's got a...
Dodge is a 5. She's got a roll.
Yeah, she's got a roll. 1d10. 1d10 plus her range plus her level to hit.
Okay. 3. She rolled... that's 6.
So that hits me.
That hits.
So now you got to roll her damage. So 1d10 plus her range stat.
6.
All right, and so my fitness is a 3, and my level is 1, so I take 2 damage.
Okay, Kel takes 2 damage.
Good thing we re-architect and can take 15 damage.
Yeah.
All
right, next person is Raz.
The lid of the crate I opened.
Yes.
I'm going to grab it, and I don't believe she's near me. As in melee range?
No.
So I am going to use a sweet move to fling the crate lid like a frisbee and try to behead her.
Oh my goodness.
So that'll do your range plus your gun stats plus level.
Yeah. Which would be 3.
Okay.
It works.
I mean, she takes the three damage. Her you caved in her neck. She coughs up some more stuff, whatever was left in her mouth, gives a nice wheeze, but she's still continuing towards you.
So she's taking 9 damage so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we got to figure out if she's a regular monster or a legendary beast. Or if she's ever been re-architected. Great. Great. We're up to Bill, right?
We're back at Bill.
Alrighty. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's any other like skills that I can have that would do a little bit more since my...
Well, what are your different attack stats? What are your effective combat stats?
They went back down quite a ways.
Well, I mean, yeah,
melee.
Yeah,
melee. I'm back to effectively zero. Because I have, you know, negative one in melee.
Yeah.
Bare hands, I have one, and guns, I have one.
Okay, so, you're split up differently than me. Well, it's because Kel, when I re-archetyped, all of his points were in guns, and so, like, so now he's still got three in range, effectively, but I've got a negative one bare hands still.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
all right.
I actually, like, if I tried to do a sweep move that was bare hands, it would do zero damage, because my effective combat stat for bare hands plus my level equals zero.
Actually, I'm going to I want to limit how much this how much throwing up on people this zombie's doing, so I'm going to try my immobilize spell.
Oh yeah,
because that's because I know a thing or two about turkey vultures, and you might be very sick from that.
Immobilize, that's a fun one.
All right.
So immobilize stops an opponent in their tracks using magic, and Bills just kind of freezes them unless he's got some better description. But either way, so
they are frozen in place in whatever they are in the middle of doing.
So Bill's got to roll a 1d10 plus his level.
Yeah.
And so what's that, Bill?
Eight.
Oh,
so,
my God.
So she gets to roll a 1d10, and if she can't roll higher than an 8, she's immobilized. She has to beat the roll.
5.
All right, so now she's immobilized. So what it is that she cannot physically move. If she wants to break free, she can on her initiative turn, instead of, like, because she technically can still use ranged attacks if she has them, like if she can projectile vomit more stuff, but she can't do any, like, melee, like if people are far away, like melee or bare hands attack, and if she doesn't have anything else to, like, vomit on them or something, she doesn't have anything to do. And she can, on her initiative turn, try to break free from the immobilized spell by, she can choose to instead re-roll her break free roll. But if she does that, she can't do anything else on her turn.
Okay.
Yeah. So up to Babbitt.
Babbitt.
Okay. I saw that her neck was, you know, caved in now, so I'm gonna jump up and punch her in the throat.
Okay.
And I got a 9.
That was
the attack.
That's the attack to hit.
Yeah.
So,
attack to hit.
Yep.
For me, do I need to roll to see if she dodges?
No, the dodge is just her sweetness plus level. That's her dodge
sweetness
level. There's
plus
no
level.
Roll. Yeah.
Oh, that hits.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now he gets to roll the damage.
Yep.
That is a
1d10 plus your bare hands?
Yeah, 13 damage.
And so she gets to then soak that. So whatever, so 13 minus her fitness plus level is how much damage she'll take.
Four.
So she took 4 damage.
Yep. Oh, her head is hanging on by a thread.
Okay, so she's either re-archetyped at some point or is a legendary beast. Okay.
You pretty much have, like, she has one little gangly piece of esophagus keeping her head together. It's flopping around and it's making this horrible sound, and there's this mushy, gushy, fleshy stuff everywhere now. Everyone in the congregation is screaming and scared to death as you guys beat the ever-living crap of their, you know, sister and nun, except for the elven chick named Tayshan, who is cheering you on. She is happy. She is like get her. Go for the throat.
All right, is it so we're up to me now?
It's Kelser now.
All right. This is I am sick of this. And so blue electricity crackling across my hands, up my arms, like my eyes are glowing blue and electricity crackling around my head, and I just slap my hand to the ground and a bolt of lightning comes through the ceiling to the ground through her, and she takes 4 damage.
Oh, wow.
Well, she bursts into a whole bunch of dust. All the giblets exploded. Mostly they got in the congregation, not you guys. A lot of the people are just covered in this gooey red meat. And
oh, geez.
She's definitely dead now.
Please tell me there's showers on this facility. You guys should, shower, right now. Like, all of you. Oh, my God.
It's so funny. So goofy, I'm doing more magical damage than you right now, Bill.
I hate you so much.
That was Trey the player, not Kel the person, not Kel the character.
Oh, okay.
So, as you guys terrify this congregation, they all just look in horror at the carnage, and only Tayshaun is cheering. She is happy. She goes up and hugs Raz like they didn't want a war. And she's like, yes!
I,
she's dead!
I gently push her off. You do realize she was murdered, right? And not by us.
You say that.
The second time.
But we all just witnessed you killed her. And it was great.
That was not a living person.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm just so happy. This is the best day of my life.
I'm just really glad I took photos of the crime scene.
Why are you so happy that she's dead?
He was a cunt. Oh, hey, Sean, language.
I am really glad this podcast has the explicit flag on iTunes.
Holy shit.
Got too real, I'm sorry.
Do we want to re-record that?
No, it's okay. Fine.
Okay.
We have
all
the
right.
Explicit flag. My God.
Hated her.
Getting that impression.
Hey.
Oh, sorry, I was so in character. I completely forgot.
Well, okay.
C-word, though she may have been, nobody deserves to be a zombie.
No one, yeah, like.
Not to mention that gives you motive for stabbing her in the first place.
Again, I'm just glad I took photos of the crime scene. Yikes.
Yeah, hey, Cal, no, seriously, that turkey vulture thing seems really relevant right now. You might want to make sure you don't have some horrible disease from getting vomited up by a zombie.
Yeah, okay. I'm just gonna fall over my jacket. My name is Trey Dorn, and I played Kel. Raz Stormwood was played by Gen Proc, Babbitt by Kyle Johnson, and Bill by Nick Izumi. This storyline has a guest GM, Brittany Smith. Stormwood & Associates is a production of Nerd & Tie. You can find more information at nerdandtie.com/stormwood. You can also find us on social media at Nerd & Tie on Twitter, nerdandtie.tumblr.com, and facebook.com/nerdandtie. This podcast can be subscribed to on anywhere that major podcasts are found, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean and quite a few other places, and anywhere that takes an RSS feed as well. To be continued.